All right, good afternoon, everyone. So I actually, you might have noticed that we have switched the order of the last two presentations. I'll be giving both of those presentations, and they're both on this same topic of a green cleaning and health study that we did among custodians in Connecticut. But the first presentation, I wanted to talk about how we actually did the exposure assessment of our cleaning products among the custodians. So we were, I hope that you don't mind that I moved that one first, and then in the second presentation, I'll be talking about the health effects associated with the green and the traditional cleaning products. So we'll be continuing on this conversation about cleaning chemicals, so it's really quite relevant, and hopefully this will be interesting. So as I said, my name is Jennifer Garza. I'm a postdoctoral fellow at the UConn Health Center, and I'm going to be talking for the next two presentations about this green cleaning and health study, which is really interested in looking at cleaning chemicals that are used specifically in this project at state agencies and what is being used and then what are the health effects of these chemicals. So the first thing I'll be talking about is our exposure assessment piece, and that's an index to identify differences in custodians' exposures to cleaning chemicals. Before I go any further, I'm supposed to read that I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge the entire green cleaning study team, including Nancy Simcox, who's in the audience, and many others from the University of Connecticut, as well as some of our other partners, who I'll go into in a little bit more detail in a minute, as well as the participants for the study. And also, I'd like to let you know that this grant was sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control and the NIOSH, and its contents are solely the responsibility of the authors and not necessarily represent the official views of NIOSH. And also, we had IRB approval to do the study. So, as I said, I'm planning to talk today about an index to identify differences in custodians' exposures to cleaning chemicals, and specifically, what do I plan to cover? First of all, I would like to give you a background of the green cleaning study, so some context about why we're doing this study and what we actually did. And then I'll move into the methods that we used for characterizing custodians' exposures to cleaning products, and I'll be using the terminology exposure indices in order to do our exposure calculations. And then finally, one use of the exposure indices, just to give you an idea of some applications, and we were interested in looking at variation in exposure indices by various study characteristics such as demographics. So first of all, thinking about the background of the green cleaning study. So the green cleaning study actually had two major goals, the first of which was to improve the acceptance and ensure proper use of green cleaning programs. And then second, to ensure proper use of green cleaning products, methods, and disinfectants. And the green cleaning study was convened actually of a team, as I mentioned, between the University of Connecticut as well as many other partners. So we had some local partners, including the local union, the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. We also had some study team members from community organizations, including the Connecticosh and the Coalition for the Safe and Healthy Connecticut. There was an advisory board and then some other partners as well. And specifically, one partner that I'd like to point out is the six state agencies that included both the union and non-union workers that were the participants for the study. So we partnered with state agencies throughout Connecticut, and the custodians and other participants other workers who used cleaning chemicals at those state agencies were eligible to be the participants in our study. And why were we doing this study in the first place? What was the rationale? So actually, in 2007, Connecticut passed a law that required all state agencies to use cleaners that are environmentally preferable products, or what I'm calling green for this presentation. And they're such named because they are supposed to minimize impacts on human health and on the environment. However, in order to really start to assess and to accomplish the goals of this study, which were to ensure the proper transition into these green cleaning programs and the use of green cleaning products, we really needed to figure out how to characterize the exposure to cleaning chemicals. So, This study was actually quite a big study, and there were many different phases. You can see I just described all of the partners that we gathered together. And then throughout several years, we went through different phases of the study, all which were aimed at ensuring the proper acceptance of green cleaning programs and the transition. So including some focus groups, also some site visits where there was biomonitoring and observations. And then there was two green cleaning surveys, one done in 2011 and one done in 2014, with a training going on in between. So you'll remember that my goal today of this presentation is to describe how we characterize custodians' cleaning product exposures. And actually that was done throughout many of the different phases of the study, but today I'm going to be focusing on the results from the green cleaning survey number one. With the idea that green cleaning survey we actually used to assess both type and frequency of product use among our participants. All right, so now that I've given you a background of the green cleaning study, the next thing that I'd like to move into is methods for characterizing custodians' exposures to cleaning products. Now, you remember that I just said that we were using this Green Cleaning and Health Survey, which was administered in 2011, in order to assess custodians' exposures to cleaning products. And how we did this, we actually had this question on each of the surveys. And you'll remember that I said we had six different state agencies. And, of course, not everyone at every agency was using the same chemicals. That would be too easy. So we had to actually derive these lists of potential products that were used at each agency separately. So in order to do that, a researcher went into the field and went to the different agencies, talked with the managers, asked what types of products they were purchasing, and then also asked if they could look into the custodial closets to actually validate and see, okay, what products are we seeing that are being used. So through this method, we were able to get these assessments of the cleaning chemicals that were being used at each of the six agencies. And then the custodians could actually go through and on the survey they could fill out how frequently they were using each of these chemicals. So for instance, here's a disinfectant, and I could report if I were using this chemical, maybe I don't use it at all, or less than 1 hour per day, all the way up to 7 to 8 hours per day. And we also, as a research team, assessed whether all of the products that were being used were considered green, or the other category that we used was just traditional or non-green products. And the way that we did that was actually to go and look at the Ecologo and Green Seal databases to determine whether those products were listed in those two databases, which are independent certifications of environmentally preferable or green products. And the custodians themselves did not have to report on the survey whether they thought that the product was green or traditional. And that's actually one thing that we found, is that we were glad that they didn't have to report that themselves, because sometimes they weren't completely sure. So it was all done by the researchers, the assessment of whether a product was green or traditional. And we did not put any information on the questionnaire about, this is a green product, this is a traditional product. So all the custodians saw was the question about products. And then how do we actually develop the exposure indices that we wanted to use to assess exposure to green and traditional products? Well, you remember that the custodians and the participants could fill out how frequently they used each of the products. So here, as an example, in the end, our database ended up being as follows. So for instance, we had maybe three different green products at one of the sites. And each participant could fill out whether they used it less than 1 hour per day and so on, as I described. And even though I'm just using a simple example here, in total we actually had 34 green products and 110 traditional products in total across the six different sites that we were assessing. And then there were 318 participants that we ended up including in the analysis that I'm presenting here today. So once we had all of this information on frequency of product use, we were able to turn this into a scale. So we just simply converted all of the responses into a numeric indicator, and this was the weight that we used. So we just chose to do kind of a linear scale, where if you left the question blank, or if you had 0 hours of use per day, then you had a weight of zero. If you had less than 1 hour per day, you had a weight of one, and so on. So we didn't try to to influence the weights in any way. They were just simply continuous with just one weight in between each category. So then, in order to get our total intensity index, we took all of the products that each of the participants reported using. So for instance, this participant one reported using product one and product three, and we just simply added across. So the first participant had a green intensity index of 1 plus 3 or 4, the second had an intensity index of 7, and then, of course, there were some participants who didn't use any green products or didn't report using any traditional products. So now that you know how I've actually created the exposure indices, I thought the next thing that might be interesting would be to think about how we actually can use these exposure indices to move forward the aims of the green cleaning study. And here, the first thing that I'll talk about is variations in exposure indices by study characteristics. So as I just described, the Green Cleaning and Health study was used in one of the ways that we use to evaluate type and frequency of green and traditional products. And then, of course, on the Green Cleaning and Health study, we also asked other questions. So here we also evaluated study characteristics. And maybe it's a little bit small here, but we asked things like your employment history, such as your current job, or the total years that you've worked in a job using cleaners, and then as well as some of your demographics, so your age, your gender, your primary language. And we thought it might be interesting to look at whether some of our exposure indices actually varied by some of these different study characteristics. So the two that I'm going to talk about today are the shift that you work, and the options here were first, second, third, or other, and also your primary language, English, Spanish, Polish, which were the majority of our participants, or they could also fill in other there. And we expected that there may be some differences in the exposures of different participants depending on possibly what shift they're working or what language they're speaking. So we were interested to see whether we could actually identify differences in our exposures. And what we found was, yes, indeed, there was variation in our exposure indices by study characteristics. So here we're looking at the green index, so this is your exposure to green products. And you can see here that the participants on the first shift actually had the highest green index, and participants speaking English had the highest green index. And all of these values were statistically significant based on univariate linear regression analyses. So these were just kind of a basic test for trend without controlling for many other factors. And we saw here that those on the first shift and English were the highest, with the other categories being lower. So we are seeing that certain things can determine how much exposure you have to the green products. And when I first did this analysis, I thought, oh, this is demonstrating to me that perhaps those participants on the first shift and those participants speaking English actually are being protected, because you would think that if they're using more green products, maybe those are replacing their traditional products. So they're using more green products, less traditional products. Okay, maybe their health is being protected. That seems exciting. However, when I started looking into it more, I realized there's another explanation. And that might be that those participants on the first shift in English language speaking might be using more chemicals overall. And it turns out that actually that is the case, or at least they're reporting that they're using more chemicals. So you can see that we had fairly high and positive correlations between each participant's green exposure index and their traditional exposure index. And of course, as you would expect, both the green and the traditional end up being the total index, so there was high correlations among with the total index as well. So participants who are using more green chemicals are actually also using more traditional chemicals, and therefore it's a little bit less clear exactly how that would what the implications would be for their risk. So you can see, just as I was saying here, I had already presented that the green index was higher for first shift and English-speaking participants, but there was also a higher traditional index. So you could see that, again, the traditional index is higher for first and for English-speaking compared to the other categories. And then, of course, that also is mirrored in the total index. So there's just a little bit of a teaser into the exposure index, how we actually calculated the green and traditional exposure in this study. And, of course, there's a lot that we can still do to look into this issue further. So some of the next steps that we were thinking could be really interesting to look at, perhaps there's some way to explain this variation in exposure index that we observed for shift in language, as well as we did observe some of these variations for some other study characteristics as well. And one thought is that maybe it could be by task. Maybe the tasks that are being done, for instance, on the first shift are different than the tasks that are being done on other shifts. So maybe those tasks done on the first shift require you to be using more chemicals compared to something else. We might also want to investigate further some of the variations or disparities in exposure indices by other factors, and also look at trends over time. So we actually measured custodians, they reported on two different surveys their exposures, and it would be interesting to see if in 2011 compared to 2014 we're actually seeing the same types of exposures, or if perhaps we're seeing some kind of shift where there are more green products being used, less traditional products being used, as you would hope, given that this law is in place to ensure that green products are being used. And then the next thing that I have in bold, what is the effect of the exposure index or your exposure to chemical products on your health? And that's what I will be following up with on the next presentation. So I'd like to thank you for your attention. I think I have a few minutes for questions if you have any questions on this presentation before I move into the next one. Yeah?
From what you presented, it appeared that your index was for the level data, but you were using parametric statistics. So I'm just curious why you looked at it that way.
That is a good point. Yeah, that's something I'll have to think about a little bit more. But yeah, it's true that we did end up having in some ways ordinal because we of course added across all of them. Yeah, but thank you for bringing that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was anything behind it that I was missing. So
no, thanks. Sure, yes. So actually that was obtained from the researchers. So the participants did not have to say, I'm using this as a green product or I'm using this as a traditional product. The researchers actually went and assessed through the Ecologo and Greenfield databases to determine which ones were green and which ones were not considered green. We did not assess whether the workers thought that the products were green. I can say that having gone out and collected some of these surveys, we did get questions sometimes, oh, what is a green product? What do you mean by that? Which we were kind of surprised because we know that there's been this emphasis over the last few years, and we've been involved with this emphasis on training workers on recognizing green products and knowing how to look for the labels and knowing how to look for the green seal and Eco logo. But as we just learned in the last presentation, workers aren't always reading the labels, and maybe even though there's a perception on the management level that they're showing the workers, okay, this is a green product and you should understand the differences, a lot of the participants were kind of saying, oh, we don't exactly know. But we didn't actually quantify that. That was just qualitative findings when I was sitting out there and getting the questions during the survey.
Okay.